This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Commanders are off this weekend. You know how I feel about bye weeks. They're a gift from the heavens, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere sandwiched in between my favorite things, like if French toast is near the top of the list with like Thin Mints, and then Coca-Cola Classic out of the fountain at McDonald's is like a couple spots lower. I think the bye week red zone experience is somewhere in that vicinity, and we get it. And although I don't know how much time you've spent looking at the NFL slate here for week 14, but unfortunately, I would say it's down a little bit. There are six bye weeks, which seems like a lot for the last weekend of byes. So there's, just by taking those out of the equation, only 13 games. And there's some decent playoff ramification matchups, but by and large, I'd say it's a slightly weak NFL slate. Still going to be cool because no pressure, no Commanders annoyances are possible.
Yeah, it is not the A slate, right? This is not one of the ones you're going to write home about, but there's still some meaningful games, kind of to your point, right? Teams that affect Washington, either good, bad, or indifferent, are in action. Now, you know, you're looking at a team chasing them like Tampa Bay, for example. They play the Raiders. That's not a great matchup. That's not much fun. You look at the Atlanta-Minnesota game on paper. You know, Minnesota's heavily favored, and they should be because the Falcons are limping in. But how sure are you that Minnesota is good? I mean, they've won five in a row, I think, beating teams barely, that aren't particularly great in their own right. So, you know, there's still some decent things on the slate that affect Washington, for example. But you're right. It's not as good as Thursday night's going to be, which is Green Bay-Detroit.
So I think there are three games that are directly going to affect the wild card conversation with Washington. And then there's another two that I'd put in the maybe pile, which is NFC South matchups. And that's Falcons-Vikings, which you just mentioned,
mm-hmm.
and I would say Raiders-Bucks as well. The only reason I don't think that's a direct effect on Washington, even though those two teams are two games behind them in the wild card hunt, is my opinion is one of them wins the division and the other doesn't get in. But you tell me if you disagree with this. I think Packers-Lions, Thursday night football tomorrow night, which should be outstanding from Ford Field in Detroit.
Indeed.
Under the lights, indoors, in Michigan on a cold night. Green Bay could fall to 10-4, which would mean they'd come out of that bye just a game ahead of Washington going into the stretch run at that point. Excuse me, 9-4.
9-4.
If they
yep.
lose that game. They'd be one game ahead of Washington going into the final four games of the season. So that would be one that's directly affecting where the Commanders are. Because if they're the 7 seed, you're playing at the 2 seed, which is either Detroit or Philly. If you're the 6 seed, which means you caught Green Bay probably, then you get to play a much worse opponent. So that's super significant. The other games that I think are directly going to affect Washington are the games that involve the three teams in the NFC West that are in a decent spot at 500 or better. So that's a head-to-head Seattle-Arizona game, which is effectively a first-place game out in Arizona. Cardinals hosting the Seahawks. Seattle at 7-5, leads 6-6 San Fran, 6-6 LA, 5-7 San Francisco in the West. And then you've got the Rams hosting the Bills in the 4 o'clock window at 4:25. So two of the games actually are at 4 o'clock, Seahawks-Cardinals and Bills-Rams. I don't know who you're rooting for in the Seattle-Arizona game. I guess probably you'd root for Seattle and just say, okay, you guys win the division,
yep.
bury the Cardinals, because they're already multiple games behind Washington, plus Washington as the tiebreaker.
Yeah, my view on that in general, by the way, is the teams at the top, I want to stay at the top. Now, if this was, if we were talking about fighting for the division, then it would be the opposite, to be honest with you. It was, you know, or fighting for a home field advantage or something like that, I'd want as high a seed as possible. To me, this is my thought is stay in at least the 7 seed, maybe get to the 6 if Green Bay swoons with their difficult schedule here down the stretch, starting this Thursday with Detroit. So if you're a 1 seed or a 2 seed, and I know that's Philadelphia, which is uncomfortable, but you know, Minnesota, I want to win out. I mean, to me, the best case scenario Washington can reasonably hope for is the 6 seed. That's if Green Bay swoons a little bit down the stretch, as I said, with a difficult schedule. But that's kind of my paradigm for the next couple weeks.
I think it would be a utter collapse that we'd talk about in 30 years at this point if they didn't make the playoffs as the 7 seed. I mean, it feels like that's almost a formality. They'd have to lose out effectively to not get the 7 seed. They're almost at an 80% rate going to make the playoffs. But to your point, the difference between the 6 seed and playing at Atlanta or at Tampa or even in Seattle or, you know, at Arizona or something, and just going to Detroit or Philly as cannon fodder feels like a game changer, doesn't it?
Yes.
I mean, to me, that's the difference between ending your playoff drought potentially, your last playoff win being 2005, or not, just based on if you have a shot to do that. It's not to say they couldn't beat the Eagles, especially if Philly beats them a second time in a few weeks in Landover. You know, it's hard to beat the same team 3 times in a year. You're going to a familiar place, a stadium you've already played this year. But I don't know. I think I'll speak comfortably for everybody listening when I say you'd rather the Commanders in the first round of the playoffs play the winner of the West or the South than the Eagles or the Lions.
Yeah, I'd rather play a worse team.
Six versus seven.
I'd rather play a team that's not as good in the postseason. Stay tuned for more analysis like that, right? Yeah, I mean, Philadelphia is obviously very, very good, and I still think they got a shot at the 1 seed. I mean, it depends on, you know, what happens here this Thursday, or tomorrow, rather, with Green Bay and Detroit.
Do you think Green Bay beats Detroit tomorrow
night? I don't think they do, but I don't think it'd be crazy if it happened.
Right.
Like, Detroit probably wins.
If they beat Detroit, yeah, the path to Washington getting the 6 seed gets really difficult, I think.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
At that point, they're probably you just got to prepare for going to Philly. Although, if Detroit loses that game in that point,
then you might be going to Detroit.
That might even be worst case scenario, because now you could be going to Detroit, which I think would be as bad as it could get.
So just super quick
matchups.
Green Bay schedule remaining at Detroit tomorrow night. Again, that's the biggest one, obviously division rival there.
Yep.
But at Seattle, which listen, Seattle's not great, but going out there is never the easiest thing, and those teams always have these epic,
fun,
you know, 37-34 type games. Seattle plays the NFC North. Really, it's really Green Bay and Detroit. They have these epic games with them that, like, no one can stop anybody. It's like Big 12 football. Then the Saints, who are nubs. And then at Minnesota, the second to last week of the year. So nothing easy for Green Bay down the stretch. Not all winnable games because they're a good team, obviously. But there's nothing that screams, you know, they're going to cakewalk, win 5 straight, and finish 14-3 going to the postseason either.
Yeah, rooting hard tomorrow for Detroit, though, I think in town, is kind of the storyline. Because if there's a path to that 6 seed, and you're going, I'm just going to say, to Tampa, which would be, even in January, 50-some degrees, you know, pleasant enough. This is not the same Bucs team that blew Washington out in week 1. And I don't think we need to tell anybody that this is not the same Commanders team that got blown out in week 1. But no Chris Godwin, several injuries later, just a much more mediocre Bucs operation. I think they could really have a chance to win a playoff game. But this weekend will be interesting just to see how things align as everyone evens out in games played, and then we get ready for the final 4 games of the season. What's your favorite game on the slate? You know, Thursday night notwithstanding, Packers-Lions. Come Sunday, what do you like best?
So we talked about a couple of them, but Chargers-Chiefs. There's the other shoe has to drop at some point on Kansas City. Not that they're not champions, not that they're not great, not that they're not going to the AFC Conference championship game again, because when Pat Mahomes plays, that's what they do. But this regular season, it's the most charmed life anyone has ever led, where all you come back and it's a missed field goal, a blocked field goal, or something bizarre that happens where teams throw up on themselves. Chargers trying to, you know, sort of ascend. Harbaugh doing the Harbaugh bit where they beat up bad teams, and now they're going on the road. Tough matchup, obviously, playing this really good Kansas City team that whose luck needs to run out at some point, whether it's this week or not. But I like that divisional matchup. I like Harbaugh getting a crack at Mahomes and company.
I think the best storyline is probably Cousins returning to Minnesota, although he's coming off of his worst game in about a decade. And so, you know, the momentum's not there. The Falcons have lost 3 in a row. Maybe that isn't going to end up being as competitive or fun a game as it looked like on paper. But Atlanta at 6-6, desperate, needing a win. The Vikings, 10-2, probably not as good as their record. I find that game really, really interesting and fun. But Maybe Bills-Rams, to go back to the game we didn't really cover out of the NFC West. Love Buffalo at 10-2, but it just feels like, you know, a lot of their wins recently have come in games, you know, that early on were pretty competitive and then they pulled away. As you now have celebrated this week your division championship, and they still have plenty out in front of them because they're thinking about the one seed, but they had the hat and shirt game already. The Rams can't afford to lose. Like, I look at games like that sometimes when I'm betting on games this time of year in terms of where are you at on the hungry meter? Are you ravenous? Have you not eaten in a couple days, in L.A.'s case, versus kind of feeling a little bit fat if you're the Bills? Because you don't need to eat that badly, right? So that game's interesting to me just to see if Buffalo can hang another win on the ledger. I mean, they are knocking on the door. If they could catch Kansas City, you know, still have a chance to have everybody come through Buffalo, which would be a game changer for them, obviously, to not have to go to Arrowhead in an AFC championship game.
Totally, yeah. Think of that, you know, January environments in the old greater Northeast in Buffalo. That would be a hoot. We could get snow out games. We could have all sorts of stuff. We just saw great theater this past week, you know, with the Bills playing in the Great White stuff. So that'd be a lot of fun. But yeah, your point's well seen, right? Where you look at a team that's desperate versus one that's really, really good. Because that's what Buffalo is. I've been wrong about them pretty much every year for the last handful of seasons where I keep going, okay, this is the year they fall off a little bit because, you know, all the attrition and they have, you know, new personnel and they got worse at receiver. And this is the year. No, it's not. They're a buzzsaw. They are a juggernaut again. They're, to me, the team that's playing the best and most consistent in the AFC. I know Kansas City has a better record, 10-1, but since Buffalo stumbled for a couple weeks in a row, I want to say weeks four or five, somewhere in there, they've been awesome. They've been right up there with Detroit and Philadelphia as, you know, two of the three or four best teams in the NFL.